So, people of God, so for those of you who may be visiting this morning, or may have been away, or on another planet, or something like that, as a church, most of the churches under the River Church banner, we are pursuing this series called The People of God, which combines daily Bible readings, Monday to Friday, with Sunday talks. So if you've not been aware of that, I encourage you to pick up little, I'm sure there's booklets still about the Bible readings available on the welcome desk outside. And reading those readings will help make sense of the Sundays as well as just being encouraging in its own right. So the purpose, why this series? Well, the purpose of the series is really to use the stories of the women and men that we find contained in the pages of the Bible to learn more about what God is like, what we're like, what this world is like, and just to kind of get our heads around some really important principles. So,
previously on The People of God,
we've had a couple of weeks on Adam. And with Adam, we've looked at all that we were always created and intended to be. We've looked at the relationship that God intended to have with us. We've looked, I'm sure you will have looked at this a couple of weeks ago, at issues of free will which is intended, was given to us so that love could be real. And I'm not going to expand on that, but you can just think about that. But how free will was also used to break relationship with each other and with God. And then how God's intention remained the same, and that we kind of, I'm sure, looked forward, certainly when I was speaking somewhere else, we looked forward to how in the second Adam, Jesus, God restored that relationship with him, and indeed how Jesus used free will properly to choose God's way in order to restore that relationship. Today, Abraham. And when we sort of even think about that name, Abraham, I don't know, we always sort of have things that come to mind. I don't know what picture comes to mind for you. And as I was thinking about that this morning, I realized that the image that tends to sort of pop into my head is of this old man with a long white beard. Anyone else share that picture? There's this kind of mythic picture. And I realized with a shock this morning where that came from. It came from the Smurfs song. Father Abraham, who was a Dutch musician, who did this Smurf song back in the 70s, I think. Horrible song. Most of you too young to remember it. But somehow, that image of this guy, who his image is this guy, he's got a long white beard, and that's kind of where it came from. Or maybe we've seen illustrations, and it's easy for us to have this kind of almost mythic figure in our mind. And actually, this can be true of many of these characters from the Old Testament, that distances them from us. And we no longer think of them as being real people. Instead, there's this kind of mythology almost around them that separates them. And this morning, I want us to look at the man behind the fame, as it were, as we consider Abraham. So, as has been mentioned, we have a title, Calling and Challenge. And again, I am aware that even with that title, different people in this room will respond to those two words, calling and challenge, in different ways. For some of us, we'll hear calling and challenge and we'll go, yes, something to rise to. And there'll be that kind of stirring in our heart, and those are really strong, powerful words, and I'm going to rise to calling, and I'm going to rise to challenge, and that's about three of us. And the rest of us, we can look at words like calling and challenge and go, well, I don't feel very called, and I certainly don't feel much like being challenged, and it all sounds a bit tough. And again, I just want to encourage you this morning to look on those words, for most of us to look on those words, maybe in a different way. That I hope, my prayer, my fervent prayer this morning, is that as we look at how this applied to Abraham, we will be able to identify it, and there will be an accessibility about those words. We are going to look at Abraham's calling and the challenges he faced, both external but also internal. And we're going to, through that, look at what we can learn about our own calling, individually and collectively, and how we can face and deal with challenges. And I've just put on this slide part of verses from Genesis chapter 12. I will make you into a great nation. This was God's words to Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. This is part one of Abraham's story. And we're going to look at the rest of it. I think, Simon, are you bringing part two next week? This morning, we're going to look at part one through the filter of three words. And the first of those words is faithful. And conveniently, they are all going to begin with the letter F. So, as Beth explained to us, if we had enough breath to listen, a little bit earlier on, Abraham is referred to as the father, in the New Testament, he's referred to as the father of all who have faith in God. Paul talks about him in that way in Romans. And faith is a defining characteristic of Abraham. In terms of how we see him, in terms of how we view his life, in terms of how he was seen by his descendants later. And we will hear more about faith next week. So no, I'm not going to steal your talk for next week, Simon. But we have to start with this word faith and faithful, because really it's the launching pad for Abraham fulfilling his calling. It's the launch pad for him stepping into his calling. He had to have faith to respond to what God called him to. I've used the word faithful, and at times, yes, he was full of faith. And throughout it all, he was faithful. There were times when we might question that word, and we'll come to that in a moment. But faith was what he needed to respond to this. The Lord had said, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. So, Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed. And on one level, this calling was very, very simple. Now, sometimes we struggle, what's my calling, what's my calling? On one level, this calling was pretty simple. It was go. Go. Pretty unambiguous. Abraham didn't know his final destination. God says, it's going to the land that I will show you. He didn't give Abraham a complete map. He didn't give him a complete itinerary. And he didn't know exactly what lay ahead. All he knew was, go. Leave where you are. And you know, that is so often the case for us. And if we sit around and wait for the complete itinerary, I think we will carry on sitting around. Often God's words to us are start something. And it's up to us to respond in faith to that beginning word. Abraham's call was to put one foot in front of the other and to go. And I think we can learn from that. And specifically, he was told to leave his family, his father's family, and to leave from that. And I just want to just kind of take a little bit of a side road just to think about that, as to why that might have been. In Genesis chapter 11, we read about his father, Terah, and the fact that Abraham had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. Now, in the Bible, the order, it says, the way the order is expressed might give you the impression that Abraham was the oldest, because it says Abraham, Nahor and Haran, and you might think that Haran is the youngest. But if you kind of look into it, commentators looking at the biblical evidence and the genealogies and how many years all of them lived and so on, basically suggest that Abraham, as he is then, is mentioned first because he's the most important. And actually, the oldest was Haran. He was the eldest, the firstborn. Now, Terah, like a good dad, and words were, names were very important, particularly in those days. He gave these sons very strong names. So Abraham means exalted father. Nahor, well, he did the sort of thing that often happens. He called him after his own father. Strong thing to do. And Haran is someone, it can just mean mountaineer, but basically someone who goes to the high places. Very strong. Someone who climbs mountains. Strong name here. And Haran sort of keeps the family tradition going. When he has a daughter, he calls her Milcah, which means queen. You know, good name to have if you're a girl, kind of thing. So you sort of get this picture of, in Haran, you know, someone given a strong name, got a daughter who's named Queen, and everything seems to be going and for him, and he's the firstborn, he's the eldest, and I'm sure Terah was proud of him and loved him, and Haran dies. I don't know why, but Haran dies, and he dies before his father, which is always tragic, of course. And then it says, Terah takes his family and leaves. Leaves where they were, and they start on a journey. We don't know what exactly motivated him, but I tend to think very probably that grief was in the midst of all of that. You know, I'm going to leave this place of disappointment and sorrow, and let's make a fresh start, family. Maybe he heard God speaking to him. We don't know. Or maybe he just wanted to leave behind a place of bad memories. And then it says that he reaches a place called Haran. Now, actually, in the Hebrew, it's not exactly the same word as his son's name, but it sounds the same, and it gets transliterated to being the same in our English Bibles. But even in the Hebrew, it sounds similar enough. In all of his grief, he's leaving behind the bad memories, and he reaches the very place that reminds him of that grief. And it says Terah stayed there. Haran, the place, means place of dryness, or a place of anger. Maybe we could interpret that as a place of bitterness. Terah gets stuck in that place. Is it any wonder that Abraham, the call to Abraham is, leave that. Abraham is called to leave this place of regret and barrenness, to break out and go, and he has enough faith to take the first steps, to break out of this background. Maybe that's true for some of us today. We've reached a place where we're stuck. A place where perhaps dryness, perhaps bitterness, for all very, very understandable reasons, have caused us to get stuck. God's word will come to us today and say, can you have enough faith just to take the first step? Just take the first step. Because if we are thinking about this word faithful, then there is something else which is certainly true throughout the story as we read it. God is faithful to all that he promises to Abraham. Even when Abraham loses the plot, even when things are going wrong, even when Abraham doesn't understand, God is faithful throughout. And this morning, as God's word comes to maybe some of us afresh this morning, we can have faith in the God who is faithful always. Even when we waver, which brings us to our next word, flawed. If you have been reading through Abraham's story this week and last week, and if you haven't, just take a read through some of it, even in the next few days. Some of us will be familiar with the story. I think we can all agree that whilst he is called the father of faith, Abraham is not perfect. Here's some examples. On two occasions, not once, two occasions, Abraham and his wife Sarah go to a new place, and Abraham is scared that the ruler in that place is going to look at his beautiful wife and say, I want this wife for my own, and because he wants the wife, he will kill the husband. So Abraham comes up with the fantastic solution of avoiding being killed by saying that his wife is his sister. A little bit flawed. By the way, a strong enough memory for his children that Isaac did exactly the same thing in the next generation. Cunning plan, not particularly great. Then, God has promised Abraham that he will have this multitude of descendants, but they have no children at this point. And Sarah, in all of her despair at what she saw as her barrenness, decides that she has a solution. She loves her husband. Yeah, I'm not blaming Sarah. Abraham, you could have children. Here's my servant girl. Go and sleep with her. Now, it's not the perfect solution, but we can perhaps understand where Sarah's coming from. But Abraham, you didn't have to say yes. You really didn't, but he did. And then, when God assures Abraham, yes, Sarah will have a child, Abraham, in his conversation with God, bows down and laughs to himself, which kind of sounds like hypocrisy to me. You know, an outward show of saying yes to God, an outward show of submission to God's will, but inwardly, ha, yeah, right. Cynicism, which can rob us of so much of what God promises us. You know, I identify so much with the word flawed because I know how flawed I am. I know how many times cynicism has robbed me of God's promises. I know, well, I've never actually tried to pass my wife off as my sister, but, you know, I know how imperfect I am. You know, you stand up with a microphone in front of a church and people introduce you and they say really nice things about you. And yeah, I did shake my head because I listen to these things and I know me better than you do. I know how flawed I am. Really, really flawed. And yet, in the midst of these internal challenges, in the midst of these flaws, real flaws in Abraham's character, response to God, God stays faithful to the promises. And he doesn't let go of Abraham. And fortunately, he hasn't let go of me. And he won't let go of you. Whoever you are, and whatever you've done. And the final word, faithful, flawed, but still fruitful. God didn't just call Abraham out of something. So that's the first stage. He called him to something. He called him out of, where was he? He was in Haran, the place of dryness and barrenness. And he calls him out of dryness and barrenness to fruitfulness. He called him to extend his kingdom. This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I'm changing your name. You'll be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. He's called, in all of this, he's called to take the knowledge of God to the nations, to multiply and to be a blessing. As we read earlier on, he is blessed to be a blessing. The calling of one is one of being blessed, but yes, to be a blessing. With all of his flaws, he could still be faithful to the call and he would be fruitful. And as it says here, God changed his name. You know, every now and again in the Bible, we read that people's names are changed in response to the calling God places on their life. Abraham, his original name, means exalted father. Like I said, big, strong name. Where, it occurred to me as I thought about that, this morning actually, the focus is kind of on Abraham, isn't it? And his name is changed to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. Where the focus is maybe a little bit less on Abraham and a little bit more on those he would give birth to, literally and figuratively. In fact, you could say, and I don't think I'm stretching it too far, he goes from hero to hero maker. And more, I'm discovering the power of that. That if I have any calling that's worth anything at all, the focus is on those who will be blessed. You see, that is for all of us, in a general sense, our calling as well. Because Jesus said this to his disciples, says it to each one of us. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. We are called, each one of us,
to be fruitful. Now that might mean different things to different people. There might be different areas in which we are called to be fruitful. There's an individual aspect to this, but all of us are called to and given the promise of fruitfulness as we take a step to extend God's kingdom wherever we are. Abraham was literally called to the nations, and you know what? So are we. Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. There will be challenges. God didn't promise Abraham an easy ride. In fact, he specifically told him that his descendants would encounter very real challenges, but that he would still be faithful to them throughout. Faithful, flawed, but through it all, God's promise that we can be